Hey everybody, welcome inside the Rams studio connected by AT&T for another live edition of Rams Mailbag. I'm Miles Simmons, I'm joined by DeMarco Farr, and today we're going to try something a little different. My producer Matt is behind the camera, he is going to be reading us the questions. So because of that, we're going to want you guys to send more questions into us. You can do that on Facebook right there in the comments. Also tweet them to us at RamsNFL or at Miles A. Simmons. So to Matt, I go to you now. What's our first question?
First question from Zach F. How does Mo Alexander go from starting safety to waived, especially on a week where Joyner was out?
The other guy got healthy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think they fully expected Johnson to be a starter when they drafted him. It was just a matter of time. So he started camp a little bit slow, nagging injuries, and then once he got up to speed, it was going to be inevitable anyway.
Well, I think it was part of that, the inevitability of it, but just the way you saw John Johnson play, I think speaks to really what they saw in him and then what they felt they could get out of him on Sundays. We even saw John Johnson play in that game against Dallas at the end there. He was the one who made the tackle on fourth down and nine on Zeke Elliott to save that thing and to ensure that the game was over.
If I'm playing a box defense where I need a box safety, I want Mo Alexanders. In this defense, I need rangy guys that can cover sideline to sideline and down the field if necessary. And you saw what John Johnson can do. So just imagine when you get LaMarcus Joyner back there with him, how much you can do if you're Wade Phillips.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Matt, second question.
Franco L. Tanko, do you and DeMarco Farr see Rams finishing the 2017 season with at least one 1,000-yard receiver?
Ooh, good question. What do you think?
Where are we now?
Well, right now,
who would be the closest?
The closest would be Robert Woods. He's got about 250 yards.
Oh, then I'll say yes. Yeah, at least one. Maybe a guy that goes over and a guy that comes close to 1,000. So, I mean, possibly close to two 1,000-yard receivers.
I think in this offense, you're going to see targets distributed sort of evenly, kind of like we already have been throughout the course of the season so far. So right now you got Robert Woods, who is leading that, and then you have Todd Gurley, who is the second leading receiver in terms of yards.
It won't be him. I mean, it could be, but I doubt it.
I don't really think it will be him either.
Kupp is the guy. So
yeah,
I think it's going to be a leading receiver, whoever that is. Could be Robert Woods.
Okay.
I still haven't given up hope on Sammy Watkins.
Of course not.
And then right there tucked in at number two is going to be Cooper Kupp.
Okay.
Yeah. He may even lead him like in receptions, but in terms of yards, I think he'll finish around number two.
Listen, I think that you will see somebody be above 1,000 yards. I don't know if it will be two, but I think you get to that sort of 750 line, I think there could be three to four guys at least with 750 yards receiving.
You might have had two 100-yard receivers if you didn't turn the ball over on Sunday.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's very true. All right, so we'll go to our next question. Matt?
We'll follow that wide receiver train. Peter Dunbar wants to know, what can the Rams do to get more targets to Sammy Watkins facing this tough Jacksonville secondary?
That's true. It is very tough.
Touches? Just touches? Was that the question? Touches.
Targets.
Hand him the football then. Oh, targets. Okay.
Yes.
Touches, hand him the football then. targets, I think you continue to do what you're doing.
Okay.
Eventually, those plays are going to hit. They're going to click.
Well, I think we saw last week, there were a couple of times where Watkins was open, but for whatever reason, he and Goff just weren't quite on the same page. I'm thinking particularly of the nine route he was running down the sideline when he was matched up one-on-one with Richard Sherman. That ball was just had a little too much air under it, and that's why Sammy Watkins couldn't get to it.
It'll happen. It's going to happen. And what we've seen, it seems like this is the pattern. Whoever struggles one week gets fed the ball the next.
Yes.
So, I mean, this could be this week in Jacksonville, the Sammy Watkins week. We'll see.
It could be. All right, Matt, next question.
Holden wants to know, considering the Jags have the 31st ranked rush defense in the league, there's no reason Gurley shouldn't be getting 30-plus touches, right?
That's, I mean, right? What do you think?
I mean, how are we doing on those 30-plus touches?
That's true, too.
Is he ripping off 4 or 5 yards per carry? Absolutely feed him.
Yeah.
Jacksonville is going to be playing at home. They're going to play a lot better than what you saw versus Pittsburgh. They are improving, just like the Rams offense is improving. So if you're having success, if that offensive line is dominating, and I fully expect them to, I think you may have the advantage there. So he could be a 30 carry back for a weekend.
He could be, and I think part of that has to do with what Jacksonville's defense has done. Look, they are 31st in the league. They're allowing about 145 yards on the ground per game. They're giving up 5.4 yards per carry in that. So that means there could be some opportunities to pick up that chunk yardage that we saw the Rams get against the Dallas Cowboys there back in week four.
I assume other people are going to carry the football this week, too.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, 30 carries for one guy, I think this offense is more dynamic
than
that.
Well, I think Holden's question, I believe, had more touches, so not just the carries. I think we could see the 30 touches because that would get us back to
But when you mention rushing yards allowed, and then I'm thinking carries.
Yeah.
But I think there are going to be more than one ball carrier with rush attempts or guys with rush attempts.
Right.
But as far as touches, it's going to be more of the same. It's going to be all over with different guys.
Yeah, it will be. All right, guys, remember, you can continue to ask your questions there in the comments on Facebook or on Twitter. We will go to Matt once again.
Raymond wants to know, what will Mike Thomas's role be? But I'm going to combine that with a question from Nick saying, with seven wide receivers, do the Rams look to move one before the trade deadline?
Ooh, good question.
Oh, boy. I don't know. That's a great question.
Yeah.
Mike Thomas, that speed plays anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Teams, I bet it'll show up on special teams first. He could find his way to the offense. I don't know how much he knows, but, you know, or how much he's been in the book. I haven't seen him play in an awful long time.
Right.
But definitely that speed, that length, his ability, you're going to be able to use that somewhere on the field.
Yeah, I think so. I think special teams is probably where we will see it first. That is if he is active. Mm-hmm. You got to remember, the Rams did not even place him on that 53-man roster, mm-hmm. him being Mike Thomas, until Monday when that roster exemption was about to expire. That was also the move with Maurice Alexander. So we'll see, A, if he is active on game day, and B, what kind of threat he can be either on special teams or offensively. But I want to go back to Nick's question, too. Do you see the Rams maybe moving a wide receiver before the trade deadline?
Possibly. Anything's possible. I was shocked when they made the trade for Sammy Watkins.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. So anything is possible. Adrian Peterson is now in Arizona.
Yeah, that's another one that's pretty shocking.
A lot can happen in a short period of time, so I wouldn't put it past any team to make moves to get better.
And we have seen the Rams make moves at the trading deadline. If you remember a couple years ago back in 2014, that's when they went with Mark Barron, trading that fourth round pick and that sixth round pick to the Buccaneers in order to get him. So.
Right. So nothing is off the table.
Absolutely.
Right.
All right, Matt, next question.
Another combo question.
Cool.
Danny wants to know, why is Tavon Austin lining up in the backfield? And Rich would like to know, when Dunbar is healthy, what do the Rams do with Austin?
Why is he lining up at running back? Because that's where he's more effective.
It's his natural position.
Yeah.
If you look at what he was doing, going back all the way to high school when he was in Baltimore, I mean, he was a running back, and he was really good. That's why he went to West Virginia, also ran the ball really effectively there. And it's not necessarily something we've seen since he's been in the league. But, I mean, you've seen him in the backfield
bit. We've seen him take handoffs before.
Yes, but I don't think it's been quite to this scale or with a scheme like this.
With his ability, I like Tavon at the top of the play with the ball in his hand. I think the longer the play goes, the less effective he becomes.
Sure.
Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
I want snap. He's got the ball, and away we go. Snap and then wait until he gets it, I think there's more of a chance for the defense to adjust. Everybody in this league can run.
Mm-hmm.
But if you catch him by surprise and all of a sudden he's out and around you, then I think he's got the advantage. So that fits more of a running back role.
What I loved about the third down and 11 play that he ended up taking for a touchdown was that it kind of was basically just an inside zone, and there's not much downside to that kind of play if you're the Rams and you have a guy who's a real speedster, and you're already in the red zone. You know, you believe that Greg Zuerlein is going to be able to hit a field goal, so you're going to get points out of that in theory. But with Tavon Austin, you allow yourself, because the defense is spread out, when he gets that handoff, to just go up the field and use his speed to beat everybody else that's there.
And that was just straight 11 personnel.
Mm-hmm.
That was great blocking and a great run. He's got great timing running the football on those plays. I mean, he sets those blocks up really well. He knows. He has a feel for running those plays. The only downside I see with running the ball with Tavon in a conventional way is when they do have it stacked up. If he's got to go north and south, there's not going to be much oomph when he gets there.
Right.
So it's either big play or you could lose a yard.
Right.
Yeah, so you have to be smart in how you use that.
Right, that's the change of pace element to things. Mm-hmm. There was that question, too, about Lance Dunbar. He can come off of that PUP list next week for week 7. You got to be on it for the first 6 weeks of the season if you are on it at the end of training camp. We've seen him doing some rehab work on the side during practice. Not necessarily too much there, but if he is healthy when he can come off of that, he could add something to this thing.
There was one scene from a movie. I love it. She walks in and says, "Is there anything I can do?" And the captain says, "I don't know. Is there anything you can do?"
Hmm.
So that's what I would say to Lance Dunbar. Mm-hmm. What can you give the football team?
Right.
If there's something you can give, I'm sure they can find a way to use it.
Yeah, I think so, too. All right, Matt, we'll go back to you.
From George, referencing the final drive there on fourth down, Cooper Kupp, drop or pass too hot?
Oh, pass too high
drop.
Or drop?
Drop.
You call it a drop? 100%
drop.
Yeah, I honestly would agree. When I saw it initially...
You're paid to catch rockets, man.
Yeah.
And he can catch a rocket.
Well,
he just didn't catch it.
We saw it earlier in the game, too, with Kupp. Yeah. It was a catch on the left sideline mm-hmm. where he went up and just snatched the ball, and it was really just an outstanding play. But on that third down, initially when I saw it, I thought that the ball was a little long. But then I went back and I saw the replay and I said, wow, like that actually is a catch that I believe Cooper Kupp will make 9 times out of 10.
From all the catches we've seen this season, I mean, the one that stands out to me is he's on the ground when the ball is thrown and he gets up and catches it.
Yeah, it was right by the end zone there, yeah.
Just the guy can catch just about anything. So it's not a knock. It's hard to catch those.
It is.
Any average receiver probably has trouble catching that, but I expect a guy like him to make that catch.
And he expects himself to make that catch. I mean, talking to him in the mm-hmm. locker room after the game, he was really broken up about mm-hmm. it, and you could see that he really was upset with himself, that he felt like he had lost that game. And what I always think is, look, there are a number of plays across any game where the thing could be won or lost, and it's not always just one play, but he even said in the locker room, hey, I've got to make that play. You know, I'm in the NFL.
Doubt.
That's a play I have to make, and it's a play I believe he will make the next time.
Let's go back, and this guy is still in the NFL, and he's a good player. Talking about Lance Kendricks.
Mm.
If it bounces off Lance's hands, the reaction is, okay, we've seen that before.
Mm-hmm.
The reaction when Cooper missed that one, the whole team almost dropped to the ground because you're expecting him to catch it.
Yeah.
That's the player he has been.
Yeah, and it is the player I think that he will be in the future. Matt, we'll go back to you.
From Michael, how will Goff fare against a Jags D that had 5 interceptions last week against Ben Roethlisberger?
Yeah, they did. They did play the Pittsburgh Steelers very, very well last week, Jacksonville.
Didn't the Steelers only run the ball 9 times?
They did not.
Or Le'Veon Bell had 9 carries or something.
Something ridiculous. Yeah.
I don't think Sean McVay is going to use that game plan against the Jacksonville mm-hmm. Jaguars. So I think the plan will be different and the results from the quarterback will be different.
Yeah, I think so too. Look, Jacksonville, I thought, did a really nice job against Pittsburgh last week. Mm-hmm. I mean, when anytime you're forcing that many interceptions, it means that you're causing some kind of problems, right? And Jalen Ramsey and A.J. Bouye, I think, have done
good players.
A really nice job for those guys. And you see guys like Calais Campbell, he's got 6 sacks. Dante Fowler, he's got 4 sacks. So as a defense, they are very, very solid.
When I see guys throwing Gatorade jugs, that's more than about the Jaguars. That's about the Steelers, too.
Yeah. No, it definitely is. All right, Matt, we have time for one more.
Last one from Tanji. How can the Rams improve their success in the red zone?
Oh, that's a good question because they do need to do it.
Run the ball.
Yeah?
Yeah. More Gurley in the red zone. Mm-hmm. I think everything should start and end with him. Or not end, but start with him around the goal line, especially in the red zone. If you can get guys, like you said, in a shortened area collapsing to the middle or worried about 30, well, that's just too much end zone and too much field to cover. And one mistake, one missed tackle, or one missed angle results in a touchdown. So I think you need to run the ball more down there to set everything else up.
I would agree with you. And it's unfortunate that the play happened last week with Earl Thomas down there in the red zone, because that was basically the start of the 4 possessions where you didn't really get any points down there. Excuse me, 3 of the 4 possessions where you did not get any points in the red zone. 0 for 4 in terms of touchdowns down there in the red zone last week.
I hope someday that play that Earl Thomas made winds up on his Hall of Fame film.
It should.
That really underscores how good he really is.
Absolutely. But I think just with the Rams, look, if they can run the football down there effectively,
and
that's
they will.
That's going to help. And also getting the ball to your big guys as targets, right? Guys like Tyler Higbee, a Gerald Everett, a Sammy Watkins. Those guys are your dudes down there, and I think that they'll be able to make plays.
Look out for Malcolm Brown.
Yeah.
Just I got a hunch.
All right.
Look out for Malcolm.
I like that advice. All right, guys. Rams versus Jaguars is going to be at 105 this weekend. You can catch that game on Fox. Thanks for joining us here in the Rams studio, connected by AT&T for Rams Mailbag. We'll see you next time.